Good evening, it's old Rawhide from CBC Halifax, the Friday edition of the Rawhide Show. However, we're not thinking about Friday today. We're looking ahead to this coming Monday, and I'm sure all of you across Canada have read of the big event on Monday. This is the nationwide civil defense exercise, 24-hour exercise Toxin B. I know you've read about it. A lot of complicated planning here for this exercise. It involves the armed forces, ham radio, three levels of government, civic, provincial, federal, radio stations cooperating. There's been a lot about it in the papers. The only thing, I don't know whether I'm getting fuzzy in my old age, but the only thing I can't quite get clear is, what does the individual do at a time like this? You know, the chap who's sitting there with his family in his house. The radio stations know what they're supposed to do, and I guess the armed forces. But so, to shed some light on what our individual, the little man's role in all this, if it comes to that, we brought to the studio this evening some of the people involved in the rather complicated planning of this great nationwide exercise, Toxin B. Marvin is going to do the interview. Marvin, it's yours.
Thank you, Rawhide, good evening, Canada. My first guest this evening is a member of the Metro Planning Group of Exercise Toxin B. As Rawhide has just mentioned, there is cooperation here at the three levels of government. Here in the Metro Toronto area, we are going to find out something of the plans laid on by talking to this gentleman. And I'm going to ask you, sir, just what is going to happen here in Toronto on Monday.
Well, Mr. Mellon, well, it's going to be a dandy big show, at here. We're all very excited about this. It's taking a lot of planning. Here in the metro area, I don't know what they're doing in Halifax, Vancouver, Winnipeg, but here in the metro area, we've got 48 sirens. And these sirens, you might have read about this in the paper, we've changed the rotors on them. Changed the rotors, get a little different torque in there, and they're going to make a big sound. And when word is received from Camp Borton, that's where the initial signal comes from, a button will be pushed at the Metro Police Headquarters. Well, we're off for the races, Mr. Melville. Everybody's got a job to do. All kinds of planning. Everybody knows what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. They got a job, they got to do it quick. Months of planning has got in this complicated coordination. Everybody's the armed forces and the police and the radio station. Everybody's on their toes and on their toes. Away we go. As soon as we hear those sirens for it.
Excuse me just a moment, please. What does the individual householder do, say, if this were the, well, not just an exercise, but if this happened to be,
afraid to say it, Mr. Melville? Go ahead and say it.
Well, if this were the real thing.
That's it. Say it. Get it out of your chest. Let's start thinking in concrete terms here. If this was the real thing, you want to know what the individual householder is going to do.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah. That's a good question. I've been working on this thing. I'm just about going up the wall. There's so much planning. I know what the radio stations do. I know what the police officer's supposed to do. A ham radio. Got that all fixed up. You want to know, if I get you straight now, what the individual...
Yes, the fellow, the chap of the household with his family sitting around, if this were the real thing.
Yeah, that is a good question. Well, I don't know if there's any hard and fast rules laid down, Mr. Melville. I mean, in a democracy such as this, we like to think that everybody's got freedom of choice. Is it? I suppose, well, even... Well, I guess you could go under a kitchen chair or on a table, something like that. Perhaps, jump in bed, pull the covers over your head. Cotton wadding, that's good. Because they tell me there's a big bang involved. There's a big bang, yeah. So I guess a little cotton wadding in the ears, that'd be a good idea, too. But pretty well, whatever you feel, except the individual. I don't know, maybe you like to go with some little family group. You might like to go down to the bottom of the garden, just sit there and hold hands and sing songs or something like that. Or get under a pile of leaves. You know, a lot of leaves in the garden. Now you make a big pile of leaves and crawl under there, and it's pretty well up to the individual person,
I see. What about children at school? This exercise is coming off on Monday. That's a school day. Any plans made to evacuate them, get them into shelters or anything?
Oh, no. Ah, we got a dandy for the kids. Oh, you see, the thing is, we don't want to get sordid and morbid about this. It's, we want the kids to take part in this and have a lot of fun. The kids are going to be let out of school. As soon as them sirens go, you see, the kids are going to, this is all part of the plan. The kids get out of school, and they run back to their little respective neighborhoods, and the kids are going to have a field day. It's going to be a lot of fun for them. They're going to run around the neighborhood. They've been trained on how to do this in the classrooms. They're going to run around shouting out, "Fallout! Fallout! The radiation is out." It's sort of a belated Halloween. Kids, you see, we want the kids to have a lot of fun doing this. We don't want to scare the kids or anything like that. It's going to be fun. I don't know if you want to give them candy. I suppose you could, you know. Make it a little bit of fun. Because our civil offense, as a matter of fact, we're working. The public temperament isn't quite right yet. But we're working. Our slogan is going to be released about a year. We don't have to try and force it on the people yet. Because, you know, a lot of people are scared about this nuclear war bit. But we want them to think. But this isn't quite as frightening as it's made out to be. This is all part of getting the kids running around yelling, fall out, the radiation is out, sort of a Halloween celebration. About a year from now, when the climate is right, we're going to bring out our slogan, which is, it's quite a powerful thing. Nuclear warfare can be fun.
Nuclear warfare can be fun.
That's it. See, we want to eliminate the scare element. There's an awful lot of it. People are worrying unduly, getting ulcers and everything. So we're going to bring this, mind you, tight. Time isn't ripe yet, but we're going to bring this thing out. It'll be our slogan.
Will you use the children in the event of an actual nuclear attack? Will these children run around the streets yelling, what is it?
Fallout, the radiation's out.
Yes, will they be yelling that?
Oh, no. No, in the event of the real thing. in other words, we assume the big bang has gone off. We're committed. We want to measure radiation. You see, somebody's got to do this job. It's kind of a sticky job. And what we've got here is a little plant. It's kind of sneaky, Mr. Melville. I don't know. But I think it's all right. We're going to take the girls on Jarvis Street. the sleepwalkers, they are going to, without even knowing it, they're going to measure radiation for us. Well, they're not playing the game with their community, and we thought, why should we play the game with them? What? Is that right?
I don't really...
Well, anyway, these girls, on Monday, they don't even know. We haven't gone out of our way to tell them it's going to be an exercise toxin on Monday. But I don't think they read the papers. You know, they're out walking up and down the street. And they're not playing the game with the community, so we're not going to play the game with them. Thing is, they'll be out there, even in the event of a real explosion, walking up and down. All this week, the Metropolitan Toronto Police Force, they've been doing a dandy job. Under the pretense of talking to these girls all this week, they've surreptitiously attached to the back of each girl's coat a little piece of blue litmus paper. That's on there right now. The girls don't know about it. So the plan is, you see, on Monday, the next side's out there, we're going to have squad cars going up and down and with binoculars, and they'll be watching this blue litmus paper. Well, Sergeant, we have a sergeant here in Metro Force. Please explain about these squad cars. Up to the microphone, Sergeant. Don't be frightened about this thing. You've got to keep it happy.
We will have specially constructed squad cars on Monday patrolling Jarvis Street. These might be called, in effect, mobile bomb shelters. We have poured 4 tons of cement over them, and we have made the doors and windows airtight with sealing wax. Our boys with binoculars will cruise up and down Jarvis Street, observing the blue litmus paper on the back of the girls.
Does radiation... I didn't hide and read this anywhere. Radiation affects blue litmus paper.
Well, no, I don't know. See, that's kind of an embarrassing question to ask. Well, I haven't checked on this, though. But I remember, so we had a meeting about this about a week ago when we were getting ready for toxin exercise B. Somebody remembered, I don't know, high school physics. Seems to me I can recall it, though. Something about blue litmus paper, something turned it red. I don't know if it was radiation or not, mind you. But it's an interesting plan. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if radiation turned blue litmus paper red. Anyway, it's worth trying. It's concrete thinking. What we want to get away from here is negative thinking. Negative thinking. It might work, therefore, it's positive thinking. So anyway, we're going to try this out. We're going to get the blue litmus paper on the back of these girls.
What is the role of radio? I understand it's going to play an important part in this exercise toxin B on Monday.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, we can call in your own executive here, Mr. Forsyth of CBC. He's all ginned up on this, aren't you? Yes, sir. You tell him what radio's going to do.
Thank you. Yes, I envision the role of CBC in the event of nuclear attack as a twofold role. A, we shall assist in the preservation of the physical well-being of all Canadians, and B, we shall assist in the preservation of the morale of Canadians. Now, in the case of A, the physical well-being, we will remain on the air with a skeleton staff.
Just a second, Mr. Forsyth. I may be a little squeamish. Kind of an unfortunate choice of words. I mean, skeleton staff. It kind of called up a little, you know, mental images of guys where the radiation has burned the skin off and just down to the bones.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hadn't realized.
Well, I mean, I might be squeamish, but perhaps another little...
Yes, of course. We shall operate with a reduced staff.
Yeah, that's a lot better. That's a pleasant. That's a happy, happy thought. Positive.
Yes. We shall, therefore, be broadcasting the people in their, in their bomb shelters.
Or under the kitchen table, or, you know, down the garden, holding hands, or under the pile of leaves, or any place there. They'll be hearing. They've got radios.
Yes, quite. And we shall have our reduced staff on duty 24 hours a day. Active every moment, these radio people.
Just a second. I don't like that juxtaposition of radio and active. You know, it's kind of... there again, that negative, frightening image we don't want. As I say, Mr. Forsyth, we are getting ready to spring in about a year's time. When the climate is right, our slogan is going to take Canada by storm. Nuclear warfare can be fun. See? So don't use little things like radio and active together.
I'm sorry. These chaps will be busy all the time.
That's much better.
Yes. Now, every 5 minutes,
We are going to have members of the CBC Farm Broadcast. All other members of staff will be released. However, the Farm Broadcast boys will be broadcasting helpful anti-radiation bulletins. You know, solutions to use swabbing down techniques.
I didn't know that there were solutions you could use.
Well, actually, old chap, what we're doing, we're taking, you know, we've got to do something. We're taking old Farm Broadcast bulletins. You recall the typical ones that dealt with how to combat Bang's disease, bacterial ringrot. Well, we're just taking those bulletins verbatim, except we're changing Bang's disease and bacterial ringrot, putting in the word radiation, you see. I don't know really whether these things do any good, but it's morale building, you see. And so, now, on the other hand, maintaining the morale of the Canadian people, we have just today signed a contract with the Carl Tapscott Singers to remain on duty throughout the whole ordeal. After the bomb has gone off, special rates, of course, had to be signed. Risk pay. We've just reached an agreement with the union now. $500 a second for the Carl Tapscott Singers. So that after the bomb has gone off, people's nerves are a little frayed, waiting for by their radios. We think it will be soothing. It will be morale building if we present these 10-minute programs of well-loved songs. As I say, huddled under their kitchen tables or wherever they may be, I think it will be of comfort to Canadians to hear the Carl Tapscott Singers with, well, Nearer My God to Thee, Old Rugged Cross, and things like, if you were the only girl in the world and I were the only boy.
I don't like that one, Mr. Miller. I'm sorry I hadn't thought of that. All right, well, there again, the neck of the fight element.
I'm sorry, we'll scratch it around.
Well, will the CBC building itself, Mr. Forsythe, be safe enough to withstand a nuclear explosion in this metro area?
Oh, I think so. I think so, yes. We were faced with a rather ticklish solution here. We didn't want to use public funds, you know. A lot of people haven't got fallout shelters, and of course, if they saw the CBC, like the little pig that built its shelter out of brick, you know, it wouldn't look good if we were running around spending the public money, the tax money, on cement and sandbags. So we fortuitously discovered this week, in our archives in Ottawa, 240,000 tons of old scripts and unsold CBC Times. Starting tomorrow morning, all staff will begin piling all this paper up against the four walls of the building and up over the roof. Then it will be hosed down so that the result will be a sodden, compact mess, if you like, but about 4 feet thick, and we're quite sure it will withstand any nuclear explosion.
Well, these are the plans, sir, Mr. Malabella. Oh, it's a most well-planned thing, and I just wanted to leave this thought. We don't want people to get scared about these exercises. There's a happiness here. There's picture those little kids running around the street yelling, follow them. And you've heard of the Emergency Measures Organization in Ottawa?
Yes, the EMO has become quite prominent lately in the newspapers.
EMO, Emergency Measures Organization. This is the Federal Planning Board. Of course, as I say, there's the local ones and everything. But we want people to think that this is a gay thing. And we have. We have got a little song. I think it'd be very appropriate at the end of this interview. Have you got a moment?
Yes, we have about 1 minute left, sir.
I would like to leave the people of Canada, maybe hearing my voice, this little song. It's not a desperate thing that it's fallout, this nuclear warfare. And there's a little song that we around the EMO in Ottawa like to sing, and I'd like to think that in Canadian households it becomes a little jingle, and it sort of conveys the happiness of this whole thing. The EMO song. I'd like to leave that with you. EMO, EMO, when you're feeling low, EMO, in nuclear warfare, it's good, good for you. EMO. Right, isn't it? It's positive, it's happy.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for this interview.